with a good prayer to pray in these difficult last days, here's Pastor Jeff.
Oh, Lord, help us to see like you want us to see and not like the world is seeing right now. The world is in turmoil. The world is not at peace. The world is in fear. This is not a place for the child of God. We're living in a different world. Yes, we are in the world, but we're not of it. We're not of this place. We've been delivered out of it. Spiritually speaking, oh, this body, I'm waiting for my new one. You know, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Life in the year 2021 is full of disturbances. Is it possible to experience peace in a pandemic? You're listening to Sound Doctrine. It's a real temptation to go from one thing to the next in our attempts to find relief, but there's a much better way to go, and that is to the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Pastor Jeff Johnson will show us how to live life the way we're meant to, no matter what comes our way. Here's Pastor Jeff.
Peter here is giving us a sevenfold appeal. And I want you to notice this as we go along. Number one is for courage, if you want to mark these notes down. And this is for courage. Over in Isaiah chapter 8 in verse 12, Isaiah says, "Say ye not, O a confederacy, to all them whom this people shall say, a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid." And then he says in verse 13, "Sanctify the Lord. Set him apart in your own heart, the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." You know, if you're going to fear anybody or anything, fear the Lord. That doesn't mean to be afraid. It means to reverence him who is in charge, that you bow your heart to him and you place him where it belongs, that he is God and in total control of whatever you're going through. No, we need to have the fear of the Lord. The church needs that reverence of God. It stops the fear of man. Over in John's Gospel in chapter 14, we've said it so many times in this series, in chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be in fear. You'll believe in God, believe also in me." It's not all about God. It's about who God sent in his Son and what he did for us. Believe in me. It's important, because if you believe in him, you have everlasting life. You have his shalom. You have his joy. So eyes on him. Over in Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. "Hey, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so many a cloud of witnesses." I mean, look at, all eyes are on the Christians. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, that puts us down. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." So whatever the world throws at us, we're able to handle. And the world is looking to the Christians. How are you handling this? How are you handling the riots? How are you handling people stringing other people up and hanging them? How are you into these things that are going around? And it's going to touch us in many different ways. It already has in the psyche. It's already the enemy's trying to play his games with us and get us to just totally be in fear with behind shut doors. No, no, no. We live for the Lord. We hear his voice. We obey him in the midst of the chaos. We're there. Remember what he has done. He endured the cross, despising the shame. More than that, remember the storm. He came out and said, "Peace, be still." And it was still. Do you remember the demonic? The spirits ran. They fled from him. And people were delivered from demonic beings. He conquered death. He ascended to the Father. Look what he's done. Look what he's doing today and what he will do. And that's that whole thing about this cloud of witnesses. And we need to set those things that are really hurting us in our lives, set them aside. It's luggage that we don't need to carry, that we need to just set it out for the rummage man or whatever. Set it out for the trash man and get rid of it and start to focus and start to be a light in this darkness that we're in. We need more lights. 2 Corinthians, this is a good one. Mark it down. Chapter 4, verse 17. Paul is speaking. For our light affliction. He calls what he went through light affliction. Which is but for a moment. He knew that we're only in a moment of time. Our life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. This is a moment, guys. How are you spending your moment? Worketh for us a more far exceedingly eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen. We're not taking seriously what's going on around us in that. But that we're looking at the things not seen. We're getting that heavenly vision. The things that are seen are temporal. They're going to go away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, we're looking for our eternal rewards. We're looking for the Lord to come back. We're looking for these new bodies that we've been hearing so much about. And especially when these old ones are being slowly eaten away. And we're slowly just passing out of this place. I mean, it's just awesome. That eternal vision that God has allowed us to have. And to believe in our own hearts. And to really set us free from the burdens of this world. Remember, Jesus committed himself to God. That's what God's looking forward to. Us really committing our lives before him and just saying, "My life is yours, Lord. Do with it what you will. You did so much for me. And when I asked you to come in, you came in. And when I asked for joy, you gave me joy. When I asked for peace, you gave me peace. Assurance, you gave me assurance. I owe you everything. I commit myself to you just like the Lord did. He endured the cross, the pain, the glory." So Peter, he slept the night in which he was going to die. He laid his head down in the pillow, knowing he was going to die. He went to sleep. Tell me that isn't shalom. When you're just, "I'm just going to go to sleep. Maybe I'll wake up in heaven." And the next thing, they took his life. Paul and Silas, they sang. I mean, there's ways that Christians react and act in the midst of turmoil. They knew he was with them. He didn't revile. You remember that scripture that Peter, we went through very slowly? 1 Peter chapter 2. He didn't revile as they reviled him. He didn't threaten as they were threatening him. But he prayed for them, "Father, forgive them." And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Do you remember David back in Psalm 73, a great psalm of how he was taking things at the time where his mind was at and where he saw things? But in verse 1 of Psalm 73, he said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." In other words, who turn their hearts towards him. But he didn't really understand it when you read Psalm 73 until you get to verse 17. And it says there, "I didn't understand until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood where they were at. Then I understood they're sitting in slippery places and in a moment could be taken out without God. Go direct to hell and the burning of hell and the eternal hell. That continual divided from God in his love. I mean, horrific. Then verse 28 in Psalm 73, it ends with this verse. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all of his work. He committed his way to the Lord. I need to draw closer to him in these days. And the same way with Elijah. The enemy was surrounding his house. They were coming to take him away. But his servant woke up, opened the windows in the morning, and they were surrounded by the Assyrians. And he went to Elijah and he said, we're going to die. Don't you care? We're going to die. They surrounded us. They're going to take us and torture us. And this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And then Elijah went and looked and he went, oh God, may you open his eyes as you've opened my eyes to the surrounding of legions of angels around those forces that are just going to take them out. And that's what he prayed. Oh, Lord, help us to see like you want us to see and not like the world is seeing right now. The world is in turmoil. The world is not at peace. The world is in fear. This is not a place for the child of God. We're living in a different world. Yes, we are in the world, but we're not of it. We're not of this place. We've been delivered out of it. Spiritually speaking, oh, this body, I'm waiting for my new one. You know, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm no longer a part of this world. That way, my mind, my heart has been delivered. This body soon to be delivered. So there's a total redemption coming as soon as we're raptured. It's coming soon and very soon. Psalm 54, verse 7. You're getting a lot of Psalms this morning because the Psalms are a good place to be in when you're troubled. 54, verse 7. He says, for he hath delivered me out of all trouble. And you know what the word all means. All. You're in any trouble at all, he'll deliver you from it all. But if you don't know, it's finances. He's the God of finances, man. Well, you don't know, it's the neighbor wants my head on a platter. Well, he'll deliver you from that neighbor. He'll cause you to be a blessing to that neighbor one way or another. And we're going to talk about that in a bit. But if we suffer, rejoice, because he counted us worthy to experience the fellowship of his suffering. Wow. Over there in Hebrews, there's an interesting chapter about those who have suffered. In Hebrews 11, verse 35 says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others the trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and moreover the bonds and imprisonment. I mean, man, they suffered. And they were stoned, they were sawn in half, they were tempted and were slain with the sword, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And they lived for the Lord. And that's how they made it through. Yes, they had suffering. And yes, we will have suffering. And it goes to say in verse 24 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Isn't that what we've done? Choosing to serve the Lord rather than living for this world and in this world. We checked out as soon as we did that. And God saw your heart turn towards him. He showed himself strong to you. And now he wants to encourage you in these days of temptation, of persecution. It's just beginning, all right? God is preparing us for more suffering. It's okay. Because out of that, he's going to get all of the glory. Peter, with the lame man, did a good thing. And silver and gold have I none, but what we have we'll give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up. And the guy rose up and ran through the temple, man. That's over in Acts 3. It's a great, great testimony, a great thing that he did. But he suffered so much for that. So if we serve the Lord, there is suffering. We will be threatened, but there's rejoicing. There's victory. And then we know in Acts chapter 4 that he got infilled with the Spirit again and became bold in his witness. And so he went out with that boldness with the people of God. Man, it works. It really works. What God is saying here. Look at verse 15 now. Go back to our text. That was just a little excerpt on 1 Peter 14. Wait till you see 15. But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts. Set him aside as number one. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The second appeal, the first one was to be courageous. The second one is, happy are the people whose God is their Lord. Reverence God, but also be ready to be a witness for the Lord. Number three, he mentions here, that Jesus is Lord. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Realize he is the Lord, not Caesar. I love Polycarp's testimony as they were taking him to the stake and they were going to burn him alive. They tied him up and getting ready to ignite the flame. They said, if you will totally just say that you're not a Christian, you'll just turn against the Lord and you'll push him out of your life, we won't burn you. And they threatened him. And he said, listen, guys, he has been faithful to me for over 80 years. And I, at this one moment, you think I'm going to turn and be unfaithful to him? Light it. And he went up. What a testimony that we can have as we live for him. This Christian bashing is just showing itself, its ugly head. It's going to get worse and worse. And it can get worse in that it can happen overnight as these riots are happening, as the things are going on. It's not that we would be afraid, but we would understand that suffering, and we're already Christians. Listen up. They had outward persecution like we've never seen before back then. I don't know if it's going to get that bad, but I know this. The persecution that is going on right now is psychological, and you're being persecuted on a daily basis just by living for the Lord. The enemy is attacking, and he attacks the mind, and he uses that which is going on around us to bring us down. And there's suffering that goes with that. Our children are suffering if you are yielding to that. Your children are in fear. They should be praising God right now. They should be in Sunday school right now, worshiping the Lord, learning his word. And as parents, we must raise them in his ways. And that's a call of God upon our families, preparing for what's up ahead. Over in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto those that would say science says this and it says nothing about God. Science is not God. Science, they don't know what they're doing. And come on, we've been in this pandemic long enough to know that they say one thing and then do another and then say, no, that's not right. And they say, but what we say is fact. It's not. And so you can see how a whole nation can be deceived very easily. And they are watching. And things are being prepared. And it's a powerful thing when a whole nation is involved, let alone the whole world. We need to just kind of step back a minute and say, Lord, thank you for opening my eyes. Thank you for loving me. Thank you that you are my hiding place. And it's a sweet spot. It's awesome. It's strength. It's what we need to live and live more abundantly in this crazy world. Let him be Lord. He'll provide. Number four is he's our hope, our certain hope. It's a fact. He's our hope. Know his word. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. That's number four. Number five, do it with meekness. Notice the end part of verse 15. Be meek. Do it in love and care. I love what Paul says in Galatians. This is Galatians chapter 6 in verse 1. He says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted." I mean, you could be the one being backsliding, and another brother will come to you and gently, in meekness, leading you back into fellowship. Because we all go through it. So we're to encourage one another. But be meek, humble. Don't be, "Listen, I'm spiritual, you're not, you need to get it right." Dude, you know, kick it up, you know. And you just go, "Who do you think you are?" You know? No, be meek, be caring. When you see a brother or sister stumbling in a fault, I love that.
We're on the receiving end of a sevenfold appeal from Peter here on Sound Doctrine, and we'll look at one more part of that in just a moment. Pastor Jeff Johnson is in a study of 1 Peter. His message today is framed around the question, "Is suffering God's will?" Now let me pass along to you our toll-free number, which you can use to order resources from us, like today's message on CD. It's 800-353-7553. By the way, the suggested donation is $5. Again, get a hold of us at 800-353-7553 or access this message online at sounddoctrineradio.org. More and more people these days are accessing teaching through their mobile devices. If that's you, check out our app. Do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey and start listening to Pastor Jeff on your phone or tablet today. Jesus knew that his death would satisfy. He also knew that each one of us would have to make a choice. It's a frightful thing to die without hope and be unprepared to face the consequences of living a reckless life. At the same time, it's a glorious thing to die in hope of eternal life, to trust the victory Christ won on the cross when he uttered his final words, "It is finished." Today, we'd like to get a timely resource into your hands written by Calvary Chapel pastors. It's a book called Because He Lives. We'll send it your way for a suggested donation of $5. We can walk you through the ordering process at 800-353-7553 or get it online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Please also remember that it's your financial support that helps to make these studies possible on your station and others like it. Your contribution is an investment in the lives of so many listeners that make it their aim to build their lives on the sound doctrine contained in the Bible. So thank you very much. Go online to sounddoctrineradio.org and click donate, or call 800-353-7553. Now let's finish up our Bible study now, shall we? Once again, here's Pastor Jeff.
Number 6, do it with conviction. He loves you. He died for you. And that's why he says, he ends verse 15 there, in fear, the reverence of God. Because we know that he died for us, and we can be bold in him. Over in Acts chapter 26, in Acts 26 in verse 6, he says, "And now I stand and I am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, and which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accursed of the Jews." So I live for the hope of the Lord. And he's witnessing to King Agrippa, and he's trying to lay this witness down. And then later on in verse 23 of that chapter of 26, he says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light to them, the people, and to the Gentiles. And then finally in verse 28, he says, "Agrippa, said to Paul, "You almost persuaded me to be a Christian," because Paul was so bold to be able to say, "I have this hope." And you yourself know, because you studied the Jews. You were wanting to be a Jew yourself. You know and you understand what they were talking about. But I'm here to tell you that this wasn't done in the darkness, man. This was done right out in front of everybody. Jesus died for the sins of the world. So don't turn people off. Turn them on for the Lord.
Well, a good word for us there as we close. We'll share the rest of this message, what to do in the last days, next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. Presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, and made possible through your generous support. So Father,